Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Kim Nelson. Kim's the Assistant Administrator and Chief Information Officer of the Environmental Protection Agency. And joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel.
Kim, the EPA is involved in 14 of the 25 e-government initiatives that are currently underway. Can you tell us a little bit about some of these initiatives?
The e-government work is very exciting. You know, people said to me when I came to Washington, we talked a little bit about this earlier, actually, how difficult it is to make a difference in a short period of time. Well, when I look back and realize that these e-gov initiatives have only been underway for less than 3 years, I think it's phenomenal when we look at the progress. The e-gov initiatives are part of the president's management agenda. It's his desire, his vision to make sure that government's citizen-centric, that government is results-oriented, and that we use market-based solutions. And that's what you're seeing in these e-gov initiatives. We're involved, as you said, in 14 of them. That clearly keeps us busy because we're a much smaller agency than many of the big departments. But so many of these are fundamental to how we work. One of them that's very important to us is the e-authentication project. It's really what the federal government's trying to do to ensure that we can establish identity, authenticate users, to ensure the proper transmission of electronic documents with electronic signatures. Our role, I think, in this is very exciting. We were recently given a grant, and here's another way that government's being very innovative. We got a grant from this project for $700,000 for EPA to be able to demonstrate the interoperability of digital certificates between state governments and the federal government. So we are demonstrating through all the work we've done with our state partners in CDX how you can take a certificate that a facility has and is using in state government and use that to authenticate a submission to the federal government and vice versa. Likewise, another project we're working on, which I would be remiss if I didn't mention, is the rulemaking initiative, rulemaking.gov. EPA is the lead partner on that initiative, which means we are managing that with many other agencies as co-partners, but we're the managing partner for that initiative. And through that website, rulemaking.gov, citizens can go one place for the first time ever, one place, and put in any kind of keyword. If you're a farmer and you're interested in agriculture, if you're a teacher and you're interested in some education issues, if you're interested in the environment, something like mercury, you can type in one keyword and find every federal agency that has some kind of rulemaking or policy open for public comment.
So EPA is a participant in the e-rulemaking program with e-government overall. You're one of multiple participants?
We are one of many participants in rulemaking, but we're the managing partner. So it's my office that's has the overall responsibility for managing that initiative. Each one of these projects has a managing partner, and we have the responsibility for rulemaking. And that's primarily due to, of course, EPA being a regulatory agency. Rulemaking is a large part of our business. If you look at the lines of business within EPA, we issue a lot of rules, much to the dismay of some people, but that's the nature of our business. And as a result of that, OMB felt we had a tremendous amount of expertise to manage this project, on top of the fact that we already had an electronic docket system in place that is serving as the basis or the core for rulemaking.gov. And that's the other great part about these e-gov initiatives, is that throughout the federal government, we're taking good ideas that already existed in one department and expanding those to many, many other agencies. So we're reducing duplication, we're reducing redundant expenditures, and we're taking a good idea and we're expanding it.
So what are some of the management challenges you've faced in the implementation of these programs?
The biggest challenge is we're operating in a very innovative way. We're bringing partners together and working on common solutions, and we're doing really terrific things in a way the federal government never behaved before. But we still haven't managed to get all the processes and the bureaucracy to catch up with that innovation. And it makes it very difficult sometimes to do the very basic things we have to do, like move money around. Because when you have an initiative that involves 20 partners, that means 20 different agencies have to pay for that project. Well, getting the money from 20 different agencies all at the right time, getting 20 different agencies to participate in a decision is not always the easiest thing to do. So the governance side of the house hasn't quite caught up with the technology and the innovative thinking. But it's not holding the projects up. It just means it's making it a little bit more challenged to manage them.
Have there been any early successes?
Oh, I think, you know, many of the eGov projects could be called early successes. FirstGov, for instance, recently won a very prestigious award for being so citizen-centric and has received a tremendous number of awards. Rulemaking is a wonderful success. The Business Gateway is now up. If you're a small business owner and you haven't been there, you need to go to the businessgateway.gov site, because as a small business owner, you can go to one place now and find what you need to do from an environmental perspective, a labor perspective, an IRS perspective, get all of that in one place. So these are the kinds of services that are being put in place for citizens across the country.
Can you describe the significant challenges that EPA will face in the future?
EPA's challenges for the future are the fact that, in many respects, we've managed to do the easy things. You know, it's the 80-20 rule. And if you look across the country, rivers that used to be black and polluted and burning are no longer so. I come from the state of Pennsylvania. If you think of what Pittsburgh looked like 30, 40 years ago, where a man going to work in the morning with a white shirt had to change his shirt in midday because the air was so polluted. We don't have that problem in the United States anymore. We've made huge environmental progress. The challenge we have in the future is that in order to make the next incremental change, improvement in the environment, it means it's going to involve every single person in this country. We made the huge environmental changes in the past by driving hard largely on industry, cleaning smokestacks, cleaning up industry. But the biggest polluters today are you and me. It's the car we drive. It's the lawnmower we use. It's the gas grill we use. It's the fireplaces we burn in the wintertime. It's our lifestyle that has the biggest impact on the environment today. And that's hard for people to accept. It's easy for them to say, take care of that factory down the road that's spewing dirt out of its smokestack. It's another thing to say to somebody, you know, you should be driving a different car. You shouldn't be using your lawnmower. You shouldn't be using your grill. That changes our lifestyle, and people don't like that. But we all have to look internally and make our own changes to our own lifestyle, because if we do that, we can make a big difference. One thing I'd encourage everybody to do, if you don't have fluorescent light bulbs in your home, put 1, 2, 3, 4 fluorescent light bulbs in your home. If you do that, if every single person in this country put a handful of fluorescent light bulbs in their home, we could reduce the number of power plants being built in this country. And nobody wants a power plant built in their backyard. And if we reduce the number of power plants, we can reduce the air emissions, which dramatically improve air quality. So doing simple things like that, like putting in a fluorescent light bulb in one room, one bulb in each room of your house, can improve the environment.
Let me ask you to take a step back and reflect on your career as you think about maybe somebody interested in joining public service. What advice would you give them?
Well, for me, you know, I only have one perspective. I've only ever worked in government. It's certainly incredibly rewarding. The ability to impact public policy, the ability to make a difference in terms of how government serves citizens, is something that's so incredibly rewarding. I would encourage people to try sometime in public service if you're currently working in the private sector. I would love to see the kind of work environment where people who are currently working in government could go also out into the private sector and spend some time in business, because I think walking in another person's shoes ultimately always makes for a better person. Unfortunately, we don't always have that flexibility, and it would be great if the federal government, and they are looking at that, looking at ways to make it easier for people to move in and move out, even if it's for 6 months, a year, 2 years, to gain some experience. So I would encourage people to be as well-rounded as possible. I regret I don't have the business experience. I've tried to spend more time with people in the private sector to understand their needs and concerns. In the future, I think we'd all be better served if we could do that.
Kim, that'll have to be our last question. We're out of time. Dave and I want to thank you for squeezing us in your very busy schedule this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Paul. And one final note I just want to say is October marks Children's Health Month. Children, from the Environmental Protection Agency's perspective, are one of the most important parts of our population. They are our future. We recognize that as we look to the environment, we need to protect our children. They are our future. With Children's Health Month, I encourage every parent, every teacher, every child out there to better understand what the environment means to a growing child. So go to EPA's website, www.epa.gov, and look for Children's Health, and you'll see it right up front, and you'll get lots of great information about how you can help protect the children of the country.
Thank you, Kim. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Kim Nelson, Assistant Administrator and Chief Information Officer of the Environmental Protection Agency. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research and get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.